Charles Edenshaw is one of the acclaimed artists of the Northwest Coast, and he lived in Haida Gwaii from 1839 to 1920. So that was a period of great transition for all Aboriginal people in Canada, especially on the West Coast. He's of Haida descent. He was a carver. He was an extraordinary artist whose work has ended up in museums and private collections all around the world.
What kinds of objects did he produce?
Charles Edenshaw made objects for use in his family and his clan. He made a couple of masks that we know of, but some of his most remarkable objects are the argillite carvings and the wooden carvings.
What is an argillite carving?
Argillite is a shale that's found only in Haida Gwaii. It's on a mountain that's very difficult to get to, so even the trek to get the raw material is an extraordinary one. It's jet black, like coal almost. It's a little bit harder than soapstone. And he carved extraordinary model poles and platters and chests. A lot of the objects that would be used traditionally by the Haida people, but he carved them in this material.
Were there difficulties in producing Haida art at the time?
Well, at that time, the potlatch ban was on, and Haida, as in all Aboriginal people, they were discouraged from continuing their ceremonies and practicing their traditions. So, for example, the Haida people would show off their crests, which really articulate who they are in the society, originally with tattoos. So this was frowned upon by the missionaries, and that's when the bracelets were introduced. So instead of having tattoos that might show that you're an eagle or a raven, you then transferred those crests onto silver bracelets, and the bracelets would be worn. So it was impossible for the Haida to be erecting monumental poles, for example. They were discouraged from living in their traditional houses, and they had to find different ways to still express who they were as a people. So one of the things that was allowed was for them to make objects for trade. At that time, both the traders and archaeologists and even collectors for large institutions around the world were already very interested in the cultures of the Northwest Coast and especially the Haida people, and were coming and were coveting these objects and wanting to take them back and show the rest of the world the extraordinary cultural objects that were being made on these small islands. So on the one hand, they were not allowed to practice their traditions, but on the other hand, there was a growing market for the extraordinary things that they were producing.
And where did Edenshaw fit in with all of this?
Well, Edenshaw was quite remarkable in adapting to his changing times. So it was a tremendously difficult moment for the Haida people because of the smallpox. Smallpox was introduced, and their population went from tens of thousands of people to only about 700 people. So as a nation, they were almost decimated. And the people had to group together into two small villages in order to survive. So even keeping their cultural traditions alive was an extraordinary feat and very difficult to do, to keep the art alive, to keep the oral traditions alive, and to keep the images of that alive. So Edenshaw, he was made a Christian. He was adopted into the church. He learned English. This isn't in the Chronicles, but I suspect that he was an amicable person, because he did befriend various people who came and were interested in having him explain more about the art form and the meaning behind the images that are in some of these sculptures and carvings. So Edenshaw was, in fact, I think, an extraordinary ambassador for that culture and the rest of the world. And because he was such a good artist, people were flocking to come and see his work. It was already acknowledged at that time. So collectors from far and wide were coming and seeking him out and wanting to get his works. And perhaps that's why there are so many of his works that are still present in museums all around the world.
And yours, tell us about the exhibition.
Well, this is, I think, really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the work of Charles Edenshaw, because it's scattered all around the globe, and these are prized works that are on display at various museums, from the Metropolitan to the Smithsonian, from Dublin to Berlin, and of course throughout Canada, and here in British Columbia as well. But it was quite a feat to bring all of these objects together in one place, so it's a kind of homecoming for these works to be seen close to where they were first produced in the 18th century. The exhibition is divided into five different sections. So the exhibition starts with an explanation of the Haida traditions, and it shows Eden Shaw's grounding in those traditions and how that was such an important and fundamental aspect of his work. So it has some objects that were used by him and were used by his family, as well as the model poles and the model houses that do represent very specific monumental poles and houses that would have existed in the villages in the 1800s. The next section goes on to what is perhaps his greatest achievement, and that's around the whole idea of narrative. So as we know, the Haida people have oral traditions. Their history is not written down. It's passed down through stories and through songs. And these stories and songs speak about the past. They speak about the creation of humans, the creation of the Haida. So these are very, very important elements of the Haida and their existence and their history. So Eden Shaw was very remarkable at being able to make these carvings of big, large platters. Again, they're made out of argillite, so these big, flat, black platters that have these incredible engravings in them that tell some of these stories, even without knowing what the stories are. But we do have some of the recordings of these stories, and the catalog also has these stories. But even looking at them without necessarily knowing the stories, you can see that these are remarkable compositions, and the dexterity of his line and the composition of the positive and negative space is really extraordinary by any standards. The exhibition then continues to look at his style more carefully through the hats that he painted that were woven by his wife Isabella Eden Shaw, who was a master weaver, and his model poles that are also just exquisite, especially in their undercarving, how you carve in deeply into the wood or into the stone. Also a wonderful display of his silver and his gold bracelets that are coveted by everyone and were copied by many people. The next section is a very important one. It looks at new forms. So at the time of Eden Shaw's life, of course, there were many Europeans and Americans coming, and they would have brought stories and images and objects with them that would have been new for the Haida people. So Eden Shaw incorporated the walking stick, you know, the gentleman's walking stick, and that became a new form for him to use. But on the tops, the ivory handles would have carved animals or carved Haida motifs. Or another example are compotes that would have been found on Victorian mantelpieces. So Eden Shaw began carving these compote shapes that are quite elegant on these tall legs. And the images that are inscribed on them are, in fact, the Haida eagle and raven and other crests. That really points to Eden Shaw being a modern person who's incorporating the changing times, even in the 1800s and the early 1900s. And the last section is the whole section on questions of attribution. Because none of these objects were signed, it was not customary for the artist to sign his name to any of these objects. So it's really been through the research by art historians and anthropologists and reading notations of anybody who would have gone there at that time, and also hearing the stories from the family, that one is able to deduce what is an Eden Shaw and what isn't an Eden Shaw. And the scholars have been debating this for the last 50 years, and I'm sure that the knowledge and ideas of what is an Eden Shaw work and what isn't will continue to be debated, just because it's hard to be definitive. So the last section just kind of opens up that question of attribution and really suggests to the viewers that, having seen this exhibition, you too can weigh in and make some speculations on what is a Charles Eden Shaw and what is not. So So that's where the exhibition ends.
Thank you so much for telling us about it.